Hey, greetings everyone, it's Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 424 Radio. Hey, we just got settled into our camp spot for the night. It's late, it's almost midnight. I just finished my verse-by-verse on this section of Matthew 18. I want to get it up, because I want to keep going. I had some other audios to do and some other ministry to do. I hope you're enjoying this verse-by-verse through Matthew 18. We're going to start at verse 23. Let's see how far we get. And just keep taking it, one verse at a time. Here we go. Matthew 18, verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. All right, so in this next parable, Jesus is giving us a view, kind of a window, and it really is into the heart of the Father in heaven, God himself. And it really goes totally against the grain of how most people, churchianity, sees God and salvation, forgiveness, via their easy believe, often Calvinistic type of gospel. They will usually proclaim faith alone is how we get salvation. But we're going to see the Father requires that we act by our faith, have works, and do according to a saving faith, or we're going to get put out. Yeah, we're going to see that. We're going to see that right here. So to take account is judgment. It's an example of judgment over our sins, right? What do we owe God, right? Yeah, if you sin, surely you will die. Yeah. So don't forsake Christ's words here. This is very, very important. It's giving us a picture into the Father that looks very different than modern churchianity and even people of the world, their concept of God. Oh, he's just all love. He's just winks at sin and all these things. No. Jesus gave us these parables so that we could learn and we could follow and we could find our way back to the Father. Verse 24, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. All right, so reckon in the Greek, that word is sincero. It means take account, computer, settle. So it's like a debt collector figuring out what you owe. 10,000 talents, hey, that's a lot of money. It's a large sum indeed. What do we owe? So when we sin against God, there's a debt that needs to be paid. Yeah, think about that. It talks about Christ coming and paying a ransom. There's a debt to be paid. But then what's our part in all of that? Yeah, if you listen to the gospel on my website, don'tperish.com, we talk about faith and works. The two go together. It's not faith alone, grace alone. Faith through grace always produces works of holiness, obedience, and endurance. Let's keep going here. We're going to find out what the Father expects of those who he forgives. Ready? Verse 25. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. Okay, this one's quite eye-opening. Remember, this is a parable account of heaven. We're going to see that this king is a representation of God. This makes God a hard taskmaster in this parable that has to be dealt with. He's going to sell off the man and his family. Yeah, he's going to sell them off because of their debt. I think this parable is showing us that justice must come. Debts must be paid. Righteousness must be withheld at all cost. I think this really shows us we have to face the goodness and the severity of God. Romans 11, as most just discount God's wrath. They just discount it. They think, oh, he's just going to smile on me and all this type of stuff. But no, that's a big mistake. You know, selling this man and his family, I think it's an allegory. Basically, he's about to lose everything. Ultimately his soul. This is what's on the line. He owes a debt he can't pay. It's going to cost him everything. Total destruction. Yeah, that's what we have to take into account here. It shows that God requires payment over sins. And Christ remedied that for us. But how we apply that to our account, we don't live in willful sin. Hebrews 10:26 tells us we live in willful sin. There's no sacrifice for sin. We're going to see a man right here that's living in willful sin, and he doesn't get his debt forgiven. Let's keep going. Verse 26. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. Now, here we see that he worships the king. That's a representation of God. No one is worshipped besides God. So this just backs up the idea that it's a representation of who God is. And notice this verse. I got to go into this right here. Notice this verse illustrates the claim that I always preach when I'm out in the streets or when I witness to people, and they always call me a heretic and works-based and all this stuff, but it's true. Ready? That you must make yourself eligible for the grace of God by faith and repentance. Yeah, do you see how this servant had to have a contrite heart? And because he had a contrite heart, because he bowed and humbled himself before a compassionate king, God, it gave him the chance to find grace and forgiveness, or he was going to be lost. This is what we must do or be lost. We must come by faith and repentance. Change your mind, change your ways. Be willing to turn and forsake your sin. What would have happened to this man if he would have kept in his debt and ran his debt up even higher? His fate would have been even worse. There's no unconditional forgiveness. There's always conditional forgiveness. Even when Christ comes and makes the payment for us, we must be in Christ to get it applied to us. You do that by faith and works as fruit that you know him. There'll be no pardon for people that are not contrite, repentive about all their sin, be willing to turn and forsake it. I always tell people, Jesus only forgives the sin that you lay at his feet and forsake. Any sin that you hold on to, it's on your record. This proves it right here. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, repent or perish. He's no liar. This man had to repent or he was about to lose everything. Do you see faith and works there, folks? Absolutely. Verse 27, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. There you go. Made himself eligible for grace. And the king moved with compassion and loosed his debt. That means compassion. Moved to the bowels to have pity. Yeah, you know what that is? That's an archetype of God in his great mercy, sending Christ, ultimate compassion, right? To us, to die for us, to cleanse us. And then those who are seeking through repentance by faith, serving him, willing to forsake our sin, we get to find forgiveness in him. Yeah, it tells us in James 4, 8 and 10, when we move towards God, he moves towards us. You see, that move has to be made. Just because Jesus died doesn't mean it's automatically applied to you. We have to move towards God. Then he moves towards us. The prodigal son had to repent and start coming home. Yeah, the rich young ruler had to agree to sell his things and then come follow. Yeah, the man that said, let me go back and bury my dad, had to know. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. He had to turn from that wrong mindset. You see how it's always faith and works. God always has a part for us to play in this glorious covenant. It's never faith alone, grace alone. It's grace through faith that always is never alone, but God requires much of us. This parable is showing us how we have to do our part in this blood covenant. If we stay in sin, it's not going to move God towards us to salvation. That's all over God's word. Verse 28, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. All right, so Jesus is about to illustrate further that just because you're forgiven doesn't mean you can't lose that forgiveness. Once saved, always saved, destroyed. This guy just got his debt forgiven, but because he went out and lived wicked and sinful, yeah, his debt is going to be once again upon him. Once saved, always saved, destroyed. He goes out in great selfish foolishness. He tries to extract a tinier sum of money after he was just forgiven much. Yeah, Not only does he want the money, he gets violent to gain it. This is a wicked man, wicked, ungrateful man. But you know what? If you believe, I just want to say this. If you believe Christ died for you and Christ is willing to forgive all your sins, God is willing in Christ to forgive all your sin, and you keep sinning, pagan holidays, worldliness, lies, pride and vanity in your dress, not loving other brothers and sisters, not seeking unity, not losing all false ways, you're doing the same thing. Your debts have been forgiven by Christ and God, but yet you go out and you keep sinning, thinking, I'm going to be forgiven anyway. I've already been forgiven. It's a done deal. No, it's not. This parable showing us forgiveness is not a done deal unless you're doing your part as fruit that you are following Christ and you're in Christ. Do you understand that? This man's about to learn what we know in Galatians 6:7. We reap what we sow. Yeah, that is so true. Verse 29, and his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. So we see the same exact scenario being played out with the king and the servant, but now with the servant to servant. But he refuses to have compassion. He refuses to reward repentance or a plea for it, or this man trying to make himself eligible for some grace. What did Jesus say at the Sermon on the Mount? Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Yeah, we've been given mercy by God in Christ. We got to have mercy, right? Absolutely. Now, what's going to become of us if we don't forgive as we're forgiven? This is what's happening here. The man was forgiven, then he goes out and he won't forgive. He's out acting sinful. Well, Jesus already told us earlier in Matthew 6:15, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So what this is about is ultimately God is the one that has to forgive them for the saving of their souls, but we are called to forgive people. And really, forgiveness is not for them, it's for us and God's glory. So if someone wrongs you, even if you think they're headed to hell and they're wicked, worldly people, you're to forgive them, because that glorifies God and it sets you free. And actually, it will heap coals on their head. But to hold back in anger and hatred like this man, trying to extract money, that's not becoming of a child of God. It's not becoming and glorifying to God. So we have to be very, very careful about that. Verse 30, and he would not, but went out, cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So this man tossed the other indebted man in prison, showing his total lack of mercy or compassion or forgiveness. Yeah, he's totally blind to the grace he was given, and in freedom and flesh he's acting out. Again, this is the height of hypocrisy, and it's a lot like churchianity. They say they're forgiven, but then they go out and live either worldly or wicked or false or compromised, and they keep sinning. They're doing the same exact thing as this guy, just in a little different way. And it's the height of hypocrisy. Go read Matthew 23. Jesus hates religious hypocrisy. So when we talk about churchianity, they better watch out about that. We know that from many scriptures in the Old Testament and the New, God loves justice. This is not justice that we're seeing played out here in this parable. He was forgiven. He should forgive. Psalm 82, verses 3 and 4. Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. Yeah, I love that. Justice. The Father wants justice. And as we continue on here in Matthew, we're going to see this, the fate of this man. He's going to learn a valuable lesson about being forgiven and forgiving others. What happens when you don't do this? This whole parable is going to boil down to this. Ready? This concept. Luke 6:31. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. This man was forgiven a great debt. He should have been willing to have a heart to forgive this other servant of a much lesser debt. When we act in injustice, when we act in selfishness, when we act in pride and sin, after we have expressed repentance over that sin, and God forgave us, and then we go right back to sin and do it again, again, it proves there is no forgiveness that is unconditional. God's forgiveness is conditional. Let me give you an example. If you're a liar and you beg God to forgive you for lying and you forsake that lying and God forgives you of lying because of what Christ has done and you go right back to lying, you don't think that you're in the same situation as you were before? You are. Until you forsake that and you're cleansed by the blood of Christ, you have no forgiveness coming, and that sin, that debt, will be on you. I think I'm going to leave it right there for now. It's a great concept for us to remember to live by. That what men should do to you, do also likewise unto them. Ponder that, saints. We're going to come back next time. We're going to pick up at verse 31 of Matthew 18. Hope you're enjoying this. I'm enjoying doing it. I hear from a lot of people saying that they do enjoy it. The Word of God, so pure, so rich, and it cuts and destroys all these false doctrines like once saved, always saved, Calvinism, easy believism, that God's just going to wink at your sin, that you don't really have to try to come out of sin, faith alone, grace alone. Oh no, when you see these parables, you see that we're in a covenant, we're in agreement, and we got to walk in that covenant as fruit that we're of Him. We got to be in the ark. It's Jesus Christ. We got to be abiding in the Word. We got to be obeying our Master. And then we're going to find grace, mercy, and forgiveness. We can't do it without Him. But we certainly have a part to play with Him. Let's leave it right there. Till next time. We love you all. Make sure you check out don'tperish.com. Shoot us an email. Let us know how we can encourage you in the faith. I got to go hit the sack. Get some rest. Tomorrow, hopefully, Lord willing, another day. Preaching Christ crucified, feeding the sheep of God, discipling saints. What a glorious thing we get to do. We love you all. May God be praised.